Welcome to Behind the Numbers, the podcast keeps update with football and the hobby. Tyson here with Bench Clear Media. I'm excited for my final episode of season one this week. I have Chris Leroy back on the show to break down the retail game again and just kind of see where it's gone from the last time we chatted a few weeks back. He's also give us his perspective on what he saw at the National. And then we're also talking a little bit about the draft pick products and getting ready for Donruss coming up here in about a month. I'm really excited for this conversation. It's really good. Really focus on the hobby talk to close out our season one as we get ready for season two of Behind the Numbers. Thanks for being here. Please leave comments in the show notes and follow me at numbers_behind. Now it's time for the show. Welcome to Behind the Numbers. Happy to have Chris Leroy of Retail Breaks back on the show today again. This is my final episode of season one, so episode 35, and we'll start turning the page to the 2021 NFL season going forward. But I want to have Chris on and just get another great hobby conversation. We're going to talk a little football. We're going to talk a little bit of national. We're going to talk a little bit about the retail game and just kind of where that's going. But Chris, first of all, how are you doing, buddy?
Great, man. I appreciate you having me back on. You didn't tell me the camera adds 75 pounds.
I know that goes all to my hair, I think. So
I literally look like a freaking dying sow on this camera. I never get to see this part of myself.
I still just love the look that you have there because you have the boxes of cards in the back. You're a dedicated card collector back there. We can see it all. You're in the
I'm sequestered to my basement. I went to the National. I had my own office upstairs. My wife kept telling me for months, she's like, I need the extra bedroom. You already set up the basement downstairs. I'm moving your stuff to the basement. I come back. My stuff is in the basement.
This is one of those battles that you're not even equipped for, right?
No, not at all.
But yeah, so, I mean, first off, we just talked about it before the show. I guess you can just give me your take on the stuff you've seen. I know you haven't broke a lot. You did a Chronicles Mega for me, but in terms of the 2021 draft pick products, so we have Mosaic, Chronicles, Prism, obviously, and then we also have the Contenders set. Kind of your thoughts and just kind of seeing those out, things you like, things you don't, and from a value perspective?
I've personally opened for people. I've opened some Prism draft picks, and I've opened some Chronicles. I kind of stay away from the Contenders stuff. I really like the Chronicles. I love Chronicles across the board, except baseball. Panini, stop trying to make baseball.
Yeah.
But as far as soccer, football, basketball, it's a great product. I love it. So I was really shocked with it. It's kind of the same thing as regular football. You get tons of quarterbacks in it. It's just loaded with rookies. You get all kinds of cool parallels. It's a really fun product. The top quarterbacks are pretty easy to hit. You know, the Prism stuff, I wasn't too impressed with it. It's kind of not a whole lot of for the money that you have to spend on the retail side. It just doesn't seem like the value's there compared to Chronicles.
Yeah.
But they're both fun products to open, but I like Chronicles better, to be honest.
I would actually say that I've kind of come full circle on Chronicles. I felt like last year, this time last year, I was kind of against Chronicles. I guess I didn't really appreciate the idea of mixing brands and mixing things in there. But then kind of open a couple myself, doing one with you and just kind of seeing, cool, a Lawrence Illusions rookie or a Kyle Pitts Optic Holo or a Mac Jones Optic Holo, and just kind of seeing those different, sought after parallels you can hit with Chronicles. You just have more opportunity. So you really have no idea what gambit you're getting, which is kind of fun. Like when you open that one for me, the Trevor Lawrence was the just basic, to me, it looked like the basic Chronicles base card. And you said it was the orange version.
So yeah, the orange, yeah.
And so there's so many just different variables to kind of sort through. It makes it kind of fun. It's kind of like that the idea of when you're opening Heritage, right? You have to look at all the backs to make sure all the numbers are correct and whatnot. And since you see might have a short print, you're not sure. So that's kind of fun to kind of stumble upon different parallels for sure. And I haven't seen Mosaic at all other than when I look at eBay comps. The Mosaic draft picks, I think, is kind of interesting. I'm not sure why I haven't seen any. Just being the rooms I'm in and around, I just haven't seen much of it. Contenders is definitely if you get a great auto, then that's it. But otherwise, it's pretty worthless. It's really tough.
Exactly.
So
on the draft pick stuff, it's just your audience is so small. There's just such very few guys that are willing to take stuff with college unis that right. – You know, it's hard. It's hard to move, especially for a guy like me. So I try not to get in over my head. I bought a little bit of it, and, you know, hopefully there's a couple guys out there that liked it. Turns out there were, and it was fun to rip. Panini does a good job, though, with Chronicles in particular. Like, you look at Chronicles Soccer last year was a terrible product, and they Chronicles this year soccer, they completely revamped the product. They put all these chrome cards in, all these parallels, all these different parallels, and they kind of did the same thing with football this year. They introduced Prism Black into it. So they're constantly making that product better, which makes me like it even more. I love that stuff.
And speaking of Chronicles, one of the better sales, Lawrence, his select field level, it was kind of an orange, sold for $850.
And nice.
It was coming out of Chronicles, and that's not even an auto. It's a pretty solid sale for a color card coming out from a draft picks. You know, Lawrence is kind of, obviously, when you go through the top sales, he's top of the list in all of them. He's got a couple autos in Prism that's gone for about $1,000, like an orange out of 49 and whatnot. But I think this year's class in football in general this year is, I think it's pretty exciting. You have five quarterbacks. You got a lot of meat.
Awesome.
A lot of meat to work with in NFL. So it's going to be a fun year for sure. Just kind of moving on to basically national. I mean, I saw you at the national. I know you were there. You said you listened to our podcast about the national in terms of just the feel. Just give me your just open door perspective of how you felt about the national when you were there compared to other years and just your overall take.
This was my fourth national, I believe. And this one was different. It was different. It was different in a lot of ways. I listened to your podcast that you guys did last week with Ty and that guy Mike. And like we talked about before the show, me and that guy Mike think a lot alike, and I kind of tend to agree with him. I think we're literally halfway from falling off the cliff, in my opinion. But, and I'll give you some examples. As far as attendance goes and as far as enthusiasm goes, it was unmatched. And from talking to the vendors and from talking to the – I got there Thursday. My first day was Friday. So I went I went Thursday, Friday, Saturday are the 3 days that I went. So from talking to some of the vendors and the stuff that I was looking for and talking to some of my friends that were there, it literally was Wednesday, all the deals were done. All of the good deals that you can find, there were so many people there on Wednesday, the preview day, that all of the wax at a good deal, they was bought out. So by the time people got there Thursday, a lot of the deals that you normally would have found on Friday or Saturday in previous years were gone the very first day. Like in particular, I was looking for Bowman Sapphire, 2021 Bowman Sapphire.
Yeah.
And I went to every single booth and I found two guys that had it at a decent price. There was probably five or six other vendors. I walked up and the guy was like, oh, somebody just came here and bought everything I had. Like five different people told me that. So there was a guy going around looking for all the Sapphire, buying it all up. And then the other vendors that had it later on in the show were literally $100, $125 more than what people were selling it for Wednesday or Thursday. So I think that was some people's game plan, was to find some of that product earlier in the week, buy them out. They knew that they kind of cornered the market at the show. Then they could literally mark it up a little bit over comps. And that's what I was most disappointed about. Every year before this year that I went to the national, you could really bring a few thousand dollars and get some really good deals on wax in particular. Plus PSA 9s too. That's the other weird thing. There have always been vendors that had boxes and boxes of PSA 8s and PSA 9s that they were willing to basically give away. They would do a huge group sub. Anything that wasn't a 10, they threw it in a box. It was $7 or $8. They didn't care what it was. They just wanted it gone because it was a 9. So this year, it's very different. PSA 9 is a very different thing than it was last year. You know, right. It's kind of taken on a life of its own. So all of those vendors that you would see in previous year that had those great bargain boxes of PSA 9 slabs just were non-existent. They just were not there. And the deals on the wax, just about everywhere I went, they were above eBay comps. Pretty much everybody, you would go there and try to negotiate. You might get a couple bucks, but you heard the same thing over and over again. I am priced at my bottom. That's my bottom. I'm not moving. There's three other guys right behind you that'll buy it. So all of this new blood in the hobby, they just don't understand that this is supposed to be a spot where you're supposed to be able to go and get deals, not overpay for stuff, you know? Right. And there was a lot of overpaying. I personally tried to sell stuff like I do every year, and people were just done buying on Thursday. I went up to so many people. People were looking for very specific things. I had about three or four vendors. Just as you're walking by, do you have any Michael Jordan? Do you have any Kobe? Do you have any Michael Jordan? Do you have any Kobe? Heard that from a few vendors. They were really looking for Michael Jordan, really looking for Kobe. They were looking for very particular cards. They were not interested in some super high-end stuff. They were not interested in super low-end stuff. It was very strange, man. Typically, you would go to a guy, and no matter what you had, as long as he could make a few bucks on it, he would typically buy it from you. It was a very different vibe this year, very different. You know, these vendors, I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it, but it was different. I was very disappointed just in the overall thing. There was just so many people. There was really no great deals to have on the wax side. I didn't see any cards that just blew my mind that I was – because everybody's – they're playing this game now, and they've kind of always done it at card shows and nationals in specific. You know, they put a sticker on something hoping they're going to get the new guy to come in and say, I just want that card. They're not going to try to negotiate. Right. So that's the way pretty much everything was priced, you know. It's like, this is my I don't want to sell it price, and you got to negotiate with me to get it. But there was a lot of guys that were just buying stuff right out of the showcase. So it turned me away. Then I seen guys that were there that didn't even have stuff priced, which is crazy, right? You're at the National and you don't have anything priced. You got to ask for a price. Then the guy pulls out his phone to look at an eBay comp. There's no internet in the whole place. So it's impossible to look at an eBay. So it was just a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. Yeah. Hopefully Atlantic City's better. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you have actually like a booth you were selling, or you're just walking around selling?
No, stuff? we're just walking around.
Yeah.
We're just walking around.
Yeah, that's the feedback I got as well. Everybody was pretty high end on their comps, and there was some negotiation possible. A lot of my friends that had success selling were selling 20% under comps purposely to move stuff. You know, they said they noticed when they had stuff priced that low that people come up and say, I'll take that whole case for this much.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, okay, good. So
my local LCS, Newhart's cards in Delaware, Ohio. On Wednesday, somebody came and bought it all. Everything they brought with them, bought their whole table out, showcases and showcases full of stuff on Wednesday. So that's what I was getting at. You know, it's like people went there Wednesday and Thursday with a bunch of money, trying to buy a bunch of stuff to corner the rest of the show. I think that was their whole idea.
Yeah.
So imagine that being sold out on Wednesday. How crazy is that?
In terms of like from your experience, what you've just explained to us and the listeners, and then hearing our conversation, what's your hobby feel right now? What's going through your mind right now about what you're passionate about?
Regardless of what happens with the hobby, I've always been a retail guy because I like value, right? I like being able to spend 40 or 50 bucks and being able to enjoy a product that if you go to a hobby shop would cost you $500 or $600, right? Right. So that's the kind of thing that I enjoy. So any cards that I open, whether it's basketball, football, or baseball, it's always going to be on the retail side. If I'm going to go chasing autographs, I hop in breaks. Breaks, the big breakers are always going to be there regardless of what happens with the hobby. I think they have enough business where that part of the business isn't going anywhere. But, you know, it's just – it was just kind of strange to see the pricing aspect of it. And I just see so many of these new guys coming in with just – they walk in there with big wads of cash and – you know, they're just scooping up all of this, you know, like Prism basketball. And I'm just like, man, if you just literally got in the right Facebook room, you could be paying $40 or $50 less a blaster than what you're paying right now. But it seemed like people were happy to pay it. So what makes me nervous is the new guys that are coming in that are excited, they have a little bit of money to spend. They got the bug, right? They're hooked. You're only going to get crushed for so long before you go, all right, I'm done. You know what I mean?
You
can only buy Prism basketball blasters at $100 a piece, $110 a piece for so long when you got to open 10 of them to maybe get a Melo. You know what I mean? The same with Prism football. You know, you're going to get one Herbert a case. So how much money is that going to cost you, right? So for the guys that like to rip stuff, they're going to spend tons of cash ripping stuff. They're not going to get a fraction of what they put into it. They're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep getting crushed. And then a year from now, they're just not going to be here. You know what I mean? So that makes me nervous. That's what I see what's happening.
It's almost like personal wax is going to be impossible. You can't buy your own box. You have to break. You have to be lucky to find retail. I think we talked about that a little bit last time you're on the show. I just looked into to kind of announce on the show is that Donruss now has a date. I think it's September 9th. And I saw the hobby box for Donruss football is $325.
It's crazy.
$325 for Donruss was the cheap one. Let me get in low.
Entry so low.
Donruss is free. Yeah. If Donruss is already pre at $325 on Cardboard Connection, that's kind of terrifying for me for Prism and Optic and Mosaic when they come, because I think they're going to be much higher. Because I enjoyed Donruss, I think, last year. Donruss was fun. Donruss was nice, awesome. Cheap.
It's fun, man. That's a fun product. But here, right now, where we are at this juncture with retail is Panini and Topps have now increased their prices to the distributor. The distributor, in turn, increased their prices to the resellers, right? Or to the retailers. Yeah. So now, Select Basketball is going to be $35 retail, right? Or $30 retail. Yeah. At Myra, it'll probably be $35. Prism Football, I guarantee you, is going to be $30 to $35 retail. Cellos are going to be $16, $17 a piece, if you can find them, right? Yeah. So there's no longer an entry level to this anymore. So now you got to spend almost $40 to get a blaster. I mean, that's a big jump, man. If you were one of the people that were lucky enough to walk into a Walmart last year and find Prism Football, and you were paying $19.99 for it, you literally have to pay 100% more to do the same thing in 1 year. There's no added value to it, right? I doubt they're going to change the format and put autos in there or put numbered cards. They're going to keep the value. They're going to keep the format exactly the same, non-numbered parallels, where they could literally just keep the presses running and there's no accountability for what the total population of the set's going to be, right? If they don't have to put numbered parallels in there, they could just keep the presses running. And that's the plan. They know Prism's their flagship product. If they don't put numbered stuff in there, that just gives them license to print as much of it as they want.
Right.
That's a scary place to be, man.
No, it is. I think my biggest thing, like even right now, I'm noticing at least in Canada, stuff's being left on the shelf right now. None of the top of the line stuff is on the shelf except for Bowman. But Bowman for up here is $42 Canadian for one Bowman blaster.
What's that, like $1 million in American?
That's 42 is like probably 35, like you were saying.
Yeah. 30,
I mean, 35 for a Bowman blaster. Bowman blasters are rough.
Very rough.
You're lucky to get a first chrome that you're happy about. And so that's just a bloodbath. Like I've bought one just out of sheer boredom, and I'm like, man, that was a terrible decision.
And you know, the other crazy thing is too, it's last year when Prism Draft Picks came out, you couldn't find it. It was just wiped off the shelves, right?
Yeah.
This year, I have personally been able to walk into Walmart's in my area, Myers in my area, and seen it sitting on the shelves. Yeah. The enthusiasm is starting to wane as far as wax goes. I'm seeing Chronicles draft picks everywhere, every Walmart, everywhere. I'm seeing Prism draft picks everywhere. You know, you could see the enthusiasm starting to wane. Last year you couldn't find a bit of it. This year you're starting to find it. So people are already look as it sits right now. Prism draft picks at Meijer, I think, is like $26 a blaster right now. You know, who's gonna look? That's a tough buy at $26, even at retail, right? You know, it's different when you're able to do $15, $16 subs. You can get a Lawrence Silver, throw it in there. You know, and you're going to make some money at $15, $20 subs. Yeah. You can line it in other rooms, stuff like that. But when that option's taken off the table, that base chrome game, you know, grade and flip is gone. You can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
you know?
That's my concern. And we can kind of just talk about that and keep going to retail with this question. But I brought up in the last show of like, the only thing about breaking, I thought, Chris, is that a lot of guys banked on that base game as them keeping them surviving. And if you can't, you know, if you can't go get in this new prism, if you can't, let's just, I mean, Lawrence is probably going to be okay, but let's just say Fields, you can't go get Fields, get four base prisms in a case, even though you paid $500-$600 for that pick your team. Hopefully those grade well enough to make that back, but that's not guaranteed anymore. I think before it was an easy game. Sure. You know, you would get six base cards, Gary Mall, they're all worth 150 to 200, and you paid 300 for the break. It was pretty simple. A lot of people were banking on that, and I think that's going to go away, especially with PSA obviously trying to get rid of the base game themselves.
As soon as PSA changed their game, now, mind you, we're small fish compared to every other breaker out there, right?
Yep.
We got, you know, what, 12 or 1,300 people in our room. We break every day, right? But we're small. We never had problems filling stuff ever because a lot of people played that game with flagship baseball, with flagship football, Donruss, like across the gamut, people were loading up base rookies of all sports, doing group subs. 5-6 months later, those cards come back. It's money in the bank, right?
Right.
People were playing that game forever. So as soon as PSA changed their whole philosophy, our room fell off a cliff, right? Because that's what we do. We're not hit based like the bigger breakers are. You want to spend very little money. You're going to pull parallels, a lot of base chromes. Sure, we hit some cool stuff every now and again, but you know that's kind of what our thing is here, right? We try to keep the cost low. And you can bank up on rookies. So yeah. Now it's you have to ride the waves of releases in our world. So it's you have to be there as soon as a product releases. You have to have the product ride the wave of hype. It wanes very quickly now. You might ride it out a week. You're not going to have any problems filling breaks. But then it's crickets after that. A week after, 2 weeks after Prism comes out this year, I guarantee you, for us, it's going to be hard to fill because people are going to have those silvers and base prisms that they're not going to be able to do anything with other than sell them as raw. So maybe the market changes and maybe people value raw more. You know, look, yep. That's the way I've always been. I look at stuff in a raw sense because I don't do a lot of grading, but I think a lot of people are going to have to change their mentality if they want to stay in the game. There's definitely money to be made in raw, but yep. It's not like it is grading and flipping. So.
Right.
But yeah. I think the retail dynamic is drastically changing, at least for the rest of the year, because of some of what we talked about, right? Do you want to get into any of that or?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say a lot of things you said in the last show, you were right on. You said they're going to control limits and you said they're probably more online. It has been way more online. Still think that some stores are still getting some stuff, but yeah, just you want to just kind of go over what you thought was going to happen and how it's pretty much what you're thinking, couple of the subtle changes, but yeah, for sure. Give us a retail update from your perspective.
Yeah, I think, look, Target has done an amazing job. They have identified the hot products and they've went to red card exclusives. So the first few weeks that they did that, if you had a red card, you were guaranteed product. It was great. But the bots have already figured it out. They've already figured out that you can go open up red cards as debit cards. And now it's the same thing. So even if they're red card exclusives, they might not get 500 of them. They might only get 100 of them. But they're still cooking the shit out of Target. Walmart is absolutely impossible. Don't even waste your time. It's an absolute joke. But Target at least made it a conscious effort where people at least have a chance to get stuff at retail. But again, this is up until right now. You're going to see things change when Select Basketball drops. That's when Panini's already come out and said, we're raising our prices 50%. To try to cut down on the secondary markup to keep people from buying up product and reselling it, right? So Blasters, off the ripper.
It's a funny sugar coat. We actually want the money, not...
Exactly. And I think I said it on your show last time. You know, imagine being in a boardroom meeting where you don't know anything about the company and we're like, here, let me tell you something. We make these cards. We sell them to these people for pennies. They, in turn, sell them to a retailer for a little bit more money. Some guy in his 40s walks into that retailer, buys it all, and then sells it for 1,000 times of what we sold it to the retailer for.
Yeah.
How long do you think that was going to last?
Right. Yeah.
So, look, of course, it's a business. They know that they're selling people, you know, they're selling distributors blasters for $8 a piece, and people are selling them for $100 a piece, right? Right. You know that wasn't going to last long. So here we are at Select Basketball is about to drop. That's going to be our first $30 to $35 blaster. So anything chrome from here on out is supposed to be at a minimum of $30. I think you're going to see mega boxes, $60, $70, who knows. But this is going to be the norm. Topps has already introduced this. Bowman was a $29 retail blaster right off the bat. $16 cellos, you know, I mean, insane markup from what it was last year when the class is a fraction of what it was last year, right? So Right. Now it doesn't matter anymore who's in the product. It is typically, it is just now name brand recognition. We're going to sell you Prism. Doesn't matter who's in it. You're going to buy it and you're going to pay a premium for it. We're going to sell you Bowman. Doesn't matter who's in it. You're going to buy it and you're going to pay a premium for it. So apparently what's happening because of all this COVID stuff is the substrate that they print cards on, right? It's called OptiChrome. Okay. So just, you know, your regular Prism card comes on a big sheet, this chrome sheet, and they print on it. So for whatever reason, these manufacturers are having a really hard time procuring enough OptiChrome to run through their catalog releases for the rest of the year. So what it's done is, and this is what I'm being told, is that they've had to limit production on all of these releases to get through their entire calendar. So which might benefit us in the long run. I'm being told that if you're a baseball guy, Topps Chrome this year is significantly cut. Significantly. Yeah. They didn't have enough material to make it. They cut out a retail SKU because they didn't have enough material to make it. It's extremely allocated, way more than it's ever been to people who have distributor accounts. So I think you're going to see the same thing. Panini is a much bigger company than Topps. I think just by seeing the national packs at the national, you know, and this is really screwed up at Topps. One of the biggest reasons I go to the national is because of the wrapper redemption packs, right? Topps gives away these Bowman Chrome exclusive cards and they're loaded. These packs are loaded.
Yeah, they're really good looking cards too.
They're great. They're Prism, Bowman Chrome, Prism parallels, and they have all the, you know, colors of regular Bowman. Panini does something similar. So this year, unbeknownst to anybody, you get to the national, you go buy wax, you take it to the Topps booth, they cut the wrapper off the handy packs, you open it up, and there's paper cards in there, right? So me being the loudmouth that I am, I walk back up to the Topps booth, and I go, dude, what is this? And he's like, what do you mean? I go, why are these paper? Like, I legit wouldn't have came here this year if I known you were giving out paper redemption packs. Because every year, these packs are so good that every year I've ever been in the national, I've bought a bunch of wax, I've opened these packs, and they have paid for my trip. That's how good typically these packs are. So right. I know I'm going to recoup a percentage of my money by going and opening these packs and buying them from booths and stuff like that because they're so short printed compared to a regular release. The guy looked at me straight up and said, we didn't have the material to print Bowman Chrome. So it was this or nothing.
Right.
So this is the world that these manufacturers are living in right now. They don't have what they need to produce these products. So at the end of the day, I think this might be a big problem for retail. It might be really hard to come by. So it might do the opposite of what Panini's hoping for. Just because it's a $30 MSRP, if there's less of it printed, it might make the markup even more because it's harder to find. It's just simple supply and demand, right?
They're going to stall Prism Football as long as they can if they're still short on supply, especially for Topps Chrome if they already cut the value packs and stuff like you were saying. Like, that's probably why there was no push for Wonder. That's probably why I bet you that's probably why Kelnick's not going to be in it. Because if they're still short printed, they're probably trying to limit that group that they were short on.
They want to make sure they can just run the presses and drive the Wonder hunt, the hype train, stuff like that. But here's what's interesting. Is a buddy of mine who's very knowledgeable in this. He has a huge retail allocation. He was told by his guys they just finished printing Panini Prism Basketball last week. Last week. A buddy of mine just messaged me a little while ago. He went to Walmart. He got a full case of hangers, four cello boxes. When did Prism Basketball release? 4 months ago? 3 months ago?
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
Right. So, it's, you know, I think Panini might be in a little different situation. Maybe, you know, maybe they bought, they seen this coming. Maybe they bought enough of it. Yeah. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens that when the dust settles. I think they know exactly what they're dealing with Prism Football this year. I think they know how crazy it's going to be. And who knows? We might see our first $50 blaster retail. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, they'd be worth that easily.
Of course.
You know, normally. So it's more just kind of no, there won't be a lot of deals.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
not
for sure. So then in your mind, like, what about, you know, there's also, you kind of explained a little bit that the bots are still getting into Target, even though Target's kind of setting things up. But from my perspective of some people in different rooms and different friends that I have, it seems like there's been more success with the limits and people finding stuff. Is that accurate? Or how do you feel like more people, even though the prices are a little bit higher, and the things they're doing, do you think it's helping more people get product?
I think what you're seeing is interest is waning with some of the products that don't, that aren't called Prism or Optic, right? So if it's not Prism Basketball Football, it's probably not going to be bought at the rate it was last year, right?
Right.
When everybody got into this and the whole craziness started with retail, people were literally walking into Walmarts and Targets because their friend told them about it, and they were buying everything. It didn't matter. Everything. Everything got swiped into their cart, and they were going to become millionaires because they were buying from Walmart and Target, right? So now what you're seeing is, if it's not Prism Basketball Football or not Optic Prism Football or Basketball, it's staying up on Target for days at a time, right? Series 2 has been on Target the whole time. Last year, or when Series 1 came out, you couldn't find it in the stores. You couldn't find it on Target online. Prism Draft Picks, same when last year when Prism Draft Pick Football came out. Couldn't find it in the stores. You couldn't find it online anywhere. It was up on Target for a week straight. When they dropped Prism Basketball, it's live for about 30 to 45 seconds. Now, that's about 30 seconds longer than it's normally live. So those red card exclusives do limit a little bit of what the whole cook community can do. They're figuring ways around it. And I'm sure as the weeks go by, they're going to get better and better at it. And they're going to be able to get every bit of it. I think you're probably going to see Select Basketball drop on Target, maybe even tomorrow or Friday, because the rumors are that it was going to drop this week at Walmart. So that's going to be the gauge, right? They've only been dropping Prism Megas on Target. They go instantly. You don't have a chance. So when Select Basketball drops, I'm sure you're going to see all the SKUs, you know, hangers, cellos, blasters, and megas, right? So you're going to have a good gauge of how fast each one of those goes. And that's pretty much going to be the exact situation you're going to deal with when Prism Football comes out. My only hope is, the other thing is, since Target has pulled everything out of the stores, I don't think they're giving that allocation away. I think that they're funneling it through their website instead of distributing it out to the stores. That's why you're seeing these massive 30, 40,000 Prism Mega drops, because, you know, if there's 40,000 Prism Megas that got dropped online, the chances are 35,000 of them would have been put in stores across the country, right? So once Target lifts that ban and they start putting cards out in stores, that's going to severely cut what gets put online. So then, you know, if they release 30 to 40,000 megas at a time, guys who don't have bots might actually have a chance with a red card exclusive. But if they're only putting 5,000 up, you don't have a chance. You're not going to have a chance.
Right.
So by the time Prism Football comes out, if they're back to in-store stuff, you're not going to get anything out of it. You're just not.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know.
Yeah.
But we've also seen something very interesting, and maybe some of your viewers don't know this, but I'm happy to share it with you. You know, there's two big distributors on the retail side. You have MJ Holding and you have Excel Marketing. So Excel Marketing deals with Target. MJ Holding deals with Walmart and Meijer stores in the Midwest, right? They deal with other stores unsports card related, but as far as sports cards go, That's kind of the way it works. So as Excel Marketing has this huge allocation of sports cards, they weren't able to put it all in Target stores. I'm sure they found themselves with warehouses full of product. They don't have a direct-to-consumer online platform. So they have all this product that they need to move. So they went to their existing relationships of gift cards and potato chips and stuff like that. And they said, hey, we're going to start putting sports cards in Cracker Barrel, right? People are finding Prism Basketball, Bowman Mega Boxes at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. Because Barnes & Noble, like, yeah.
Barnes & Noble is a huge one. Excel puts product in Barnes & Noble. They put product in Cracker Barrel. They put product in Hobby Lobby. They put product in Party City. So now we're in, this is what freaks everybody out, right? This is the Junk Wax 2.0, right? As soon as somebody posts something on Facebook, I just found 10 Bowman Megas at Cracker Barrel. You'll immediately start to see the messages, Junk Wax 2.0, I told you this is the end, this is the end, this is the end. Well, look, the reality is this company has a warehouse full of sports cards that they no longer have their largest distributor to get rid of them, right? So they got to do something with them. So they found existing relationships. Hey, people, a lot of people go through Cracker Barrel. A lot of people go through Walgreens. A lot of people go through CVS. Yeah. Hey, you mind if we rent a little space from you and we'll put some of these products that normally were exclusive to Target in your store, right?
They have no idea what's coming.
No, not at all. Well, I think they do now.
Yeah, they do now. Just funny.
Here's the other crazy thing too. Another store that just dropped this week, people found out about, is Lids, the hats.
Oh, yeah.
People are finding Prism Basketball Gravity Boxes in Lids locker room stores.
That makes sense.
This is how loving our hobby is. You'll see somebody post a gravity box of Prism, and you'll immediately get the barrage. Oh, my God. Where'd you get those? Oh, my God. Is Target selling cards again? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Then the original poster is like just completely ghost everybody. I'm not telling you where I found these. Well, I'm going to tell you where you found them. You found them at Lids.
Yeah.
So go check your Lids and go piss on the guy that is in your area who thinks that he's got the market cornered. Go find yourself some Prism Basketball at Lids if you can find it.
There you go. I mean, that's thanks for all that. That was a really good retail breakdown. I really appreciate you coming on and doing that.
No
kind of to close, Chris, I think just because you've been in the hobby for a long time and obviously you're well invested to it with your, you know, with breaking and whatnot that you enjoy, what would be your messaging to, like, you know, you kind of said these new guys are coming in and kind of buying stuff over comps. And I guess if someone came to you and said, hey, Chris, I want to get started in cards, like, what would you say to kind of help manage some of these retail and wax issues? What would you tell them?
Unfortunately, I think everyone has to learn the lesson that you can't buy it all. And I think that's what a lot of people try to do. People get, especially in breaks, people will buy into a break and it's just weird, man. People have beginner's luck. It's just the way it works. I see it every day in my room. If a new guy jumps in, there's a very good possibility he's going to pull the best card in that break. It's just the way it works. And it's just the universe's way of hooking that guy. And
line sinker.
They get the expectation that this is the way it's going to be. Look, it's gambling. You're gambling. There's no other way to put it. Okay? You're throwing money into something. You don't know what the return is going to be until you open this package, right? So you don't know what you're getting into. You might come out way ahead. You might lose. So I think my personal philosophy is if I'm going to spend money on something, right? So look, I'll give you a perfect example. So when I buy wax, so I bought a case of, where is it at?
Yeah, right there. Yep.
Optic football.
Missed the Cowboys. Dang it.
My philosophy is this. If I'm going to invest a lot of money, and this is a lot of money for this, if I can't move this, sell it, right? I know that this is never going to be less than what I paid for.
Right.
Ever. Yep. It's not going to happen. Not with this rookie class. So those are the moves that I like to make. If I'm gonna invest my hard-earned money, I'm gonna do it with something that I know is tried and true. It's proven, right? Yep. I'm not going to go spend a few grand on contenders draft picks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go spend a few grand on score football that are absolutely tried and true, that are people hate the word investment, but it's a safe investment. You know, when football starts, if you invest some money in the optic football, you're going to at least get your money back.
Yep.
Right? So that would be my piece of advice. Yep. Buy smart. Don't just buy something to buy it. Just buy smart. Invest in the products that are tried and true, the prisms, the optics, the Bowman chromes, the Topps chromes. You can't go wrong with that stuff. People get crazy and they start buying, you know, hey, I just bought a case of Museum Club. Hey, I just bought a case of Allen and Ginter. You're going to lose every single time. Buy into breaks with that stuff. Find your favorite team. Find somebody who's breaking it. Spend $100. Go buy your team. If you want to really get in and buy a bunch of something, buy a product that is tried and true.
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely that's one thing that I think that generally I've done in my like kind of, you know, I came back in like about 3 years ago. Pretty, you know, I was collecting as a kid, came back 3 years ago, but I kind of just never got really to Allen Ginter, never really to, you know, Gypsy Queen or any of those side things. I'd say stay in the main funnels, but then also like don't get so hung up on chasing the big guy. I think I see a lot of people, I'm just going to chase Zion. Do you like Zion? What team Zion play for? I don't know. Don't do that, because then when you're losing your butt, you're not going to be very happy with what you bring home. Like at least like if I'm chasing Herbert, I'm a big Oregon fan. So that's okay for me. I like Oregon. Right. I liked Herbert. I watched him play in college. So, you know, I have that little bit of a feel. I click Nick Madrigal. He went to Oregon State. So try to find something that also makes it fun for you, but then you know, don't always be about chasing the big goose, because it's going to be a lottery ticket for sure. And that's you're not going to feel very good at the end of the day.
Or you could always, it's not a conversation until we bring up Ohtani.
That's right. That's your boy. Gotta get the Ohtani love. You got that MVP bet I'm rooting for you. That's one of my worst sells I've made was Ohtani, but we'll keep that for another show. But thanks for coming on, bud. Appreciate the retail update. And
no problem, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy, man.